It's about taking responsibility for a gathering and enabling everybody who wants to speak to speak.
Welcome to the Circle Holding Podcast with me, Julia Davis.
And me, Tessa Venuti-Sanderson. We are the co-authors of the book Circle Holding, A Practical Guide to Facilitating Talking Circles.
We would love for you to join us for free talks, question and answer sessions, all about the art of holding circle. You can find these at circleholding.org. This is Julia Davis, and together with Tessa, we are going to be talking about what is circle holding. So we'll be looking at the role of the circle facilitator. When we talk to people about our book, we often ask the question, what is circle holding? And when we dreamed up the title, we knew exactly what we were talking about, although the strapline, A Practical Guide to Facilitating Talking Circles, clarified our intention. Because we have been asked the question so many times, in this episode, we will be answering the question, what is circle holding? And we're going to have a bit of fun now, and we're going to try and do this in one sentence. Tessa, in one sentence, could you answer the question, what is circle holding?
The shorter, you know, you have to talk about it, I think the harder it is. In one sentence, I would say it's about taking responsibility for a gathering and enabling everybody who wants to speak to have chance to speak and to be heard and witnessed in their experience.
That's great.
What about you, Julia?
I think it's about holding space for someone. So when you hold space for someone, you're not responsible for fixing or judging or doing anything yourself.
Yeah, there are two quite different answers, and we'll unpack it a little bit. But you'll hear in the interviews we've done with guest facilitators that all of them talk about holding space. So we're just going to give a little bit of an overview, and then you can also hear their ideas as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's very much about having someone taking responsibility for the space. So whether that's one facilitator or a co-facilitator, that's very different to kind of passing the rod around the room as to who's going to be looking after everyone this week. And we have to make a decision who's going to speak, for how long, when. Sometimes you might have to interrupt people. And that's why there's a level of skill involved in the role. And if you're already like a teacher or a group therapist or a group coach, a manager or a space holder in other areas, you're likely to have already gained the skills required for a talking circle, or some of them.
Yeah, I think it's really important to think about who is taking responsibility, because you might have gone to a circle where you take it in turns. It's a kind of collaborative thing, and perhaps you move around each other's houses. But the only issue perhaps with that you're going to have to think about carefully is who is taking ultimate responsibility, you know, for the organisation? Who's going to keep the momentum going? And if it's changing from person to person, does each of those people have the skills needed to really hold that space? Or is there somebody maybe who's more experienced that's going to be there to kind of lend a hand? If there's a co-facilitator, and you can listen to Red School's episode on this about how they beautifully co-facilitate, actually a lot of work goes into, right, which part are you going to take and what role are you going to take and how are you going to do that dance between yourselves about who's going to respond? So I think this taking responsibility is a really important thing to sit and reflect on.
Yeah, and I think it's about how prepared you are. I think there's a whole variety of the interviews that we've had in this podcast where people have talked about what they've done and you thought, oh my goodness, they've really thought this through. They've really spent time, effort and energy on what they've done, and they've built their skill set. That idea of preparation beforehand. In the interview with Andy, where he talks about the political process, he really talks about skill sets that are very particular. You have to be able to deal with a whole variety of age groups, or having to make sure that it's lighthearted enough for people to have a bit of fun in the group. Those are all skills that take practice. And why we wrote the book is so that when you enter into that space as a circle holder, as a space holder, you've got tools. Certainly in the book, there were people who talked about, well, the first time I held circle, I got so many things wrong. And absolutely, you can do it and get loads of things wrong. But what hopefully our book and this podcast does is help you to get it a little bit more right than you might otherwise have done.
I think it's really important to remember when we're thinking about circle holding our humanness, you know, and that as a facilitator, sometimes we won't get it quite right. As you were talking, I was thinking about how some people have a more innate sense of how to hold space for other people. I don't know whether it comes from being really curious about other people and really wanting to hear what they've got to say. But I think also, you know, it's definitely something that can be developed. And when I think back to the first women's circles that I held, you know, 10 years ago, my capacity as a facilitator has grown so much. I think I just hold the space in a different way. And one thing I really loved from Red School, where you were talking about the preparation, they were saying they do so much preparation about what that circle is going to be like and what they want to get across. And they go backwards and forwards between each other. And then when it actually comes to the event itself, they just let go. Because, yeah, you know, it's not about their agency anymore. It's about what are the people bringing in. And that was also the same in the interview with Liz from Becoming Mums. She said, we've got to keep thinking about, it's not about what you need, it's about the people who are there and what their needs are. So I think it's, as a facilitator, you're sort of juggling these things. You're creating this space and you're creating a space to let something unknown happen.
Yeah. And I think what comes into that is that the preparation is really important, but the people are as important as the preparation. And that's something that is a skill that grows over time. I think Lee Stagels talked about making space for silence and holding that space where nothing's happening, but there's the anticipation that something will. Often, if the space is allowed for, that's when something special can really occur. And I think also confidence can build with familiarity. So some circles you might choose to run are really closed. You've got a certain number of people. It's going to be the same people each week. And as you are together with those people, your confidence can build. You get to know them better. You get to be able to anticipate who's more quiet, who's more loquacious, how that's going to work. However, when you've got a circle that allows new people in on a regular basis, it's caring for the people who are already there and caring for that new person who's coming in so that they can feel confident and comfortable to feel that they can actually express themselves in a group of other people who've already become comfortable there.
Because I think part of the responsibility is, you know, that sometimes you will have to interrupt people and say, oh, you know, that's wonderful, you know, hearing what you're saying. And I just wonder what other people think about that. So the people maybe you've not said anything so far can have chance to come in. So you are taking control a little bit, you know, of that space to enable that ability for everybody who wants to speak to speak. I think there's a confidence that needs to be there to step in. And sometimes that's going to feel uncomfortable. Or there might be big feelings and that might feel really uncomfortable, or a silence opens up and you're like, nobody's saying anything. For me, what I think I've got better at over the years as a facilitator is being okay with discomfort and kind of being on edge sometimes, not knowing quite where something's going to go, but trusting, you know, trusting that the circle is going to manifest what needs to be manifested.
Definitely. And with that is the strength of confidence to step in when we need to. I'm just reminded of a circle that I went to where one of the ideas was that there would be no judgment and there would be no giving ideas and sharing what people thought of something. And it wasn't adhered to. And I remember the person who was facilitating the circle looked at me, and I wasn't the circle holder, so I didn't feel like it was my responsibility to step in and remind people what the rules were of the circle, as if to say, these people aren't doing what they're meant to do, are they? But when people don't do what they're meant to do, and they're not aware of it, and they're not doing it on purpose, it is our role to step in and say, this isn't the space of that for that. This is the space to give that person the breath and the time to express themselves without judgment and without any fixing is often as simple as giving them space to speak.
The other thing that's coming to mind as you were speaking then was how we are, I think, as circle facilitators, trying to model what we want to happen in the circle. So we will explicitly say, this is going to be confidential, what's said in the circle stays in the circle, and the other guidelines. But I feel very much that a responsibility myself to try and model how I talk. So if I'm saying, let's use lean speech and really get to the point, not take diversions to this backstory, and that I do the same myself. And, you know, we were talking about not fixing earlier. Sometimes somebody might be really upset, and you're kind of, the human part of you, the empathic part of you, wants to rush in and give them a massive hug. But as the facilitator, you're there to model, let's check in with that person. Do they actually want a tissue? Do they want a hug? Maybe they don't. Maybe they'd like to have a glass of water. And so we need to have practiced doing all of those things that we're then asking people to do in the circle themselves.
Yeah. And also, I mean, you might not be somebody who wants to hold a circle and participate. We need participants in circles. So you don't have to be the driver to be part of it. And one of the things that I like to do is to participate in circle and not always be the one who's organizing it, because that allows me to being part of something and enjoy somebody else taking the reins. As facilitators, there's a whole raft of ideas around holding space. But something that I really do believe is that when we're a space holder, we're not a therapist and we're not a fixer. And that, for me, that gave me a great sigh of relief. Oh my goodness. People can share things with me, and it is not my responsibility to have an idea of what they should do about that. And I am providing a really fabulous service to them by not doing that.
I agree. I think there's so much value in being able to go to a simple talking circle and to be able to talk out loud for whatever is on your mind at the moment, an experience that you want to share. And it's empowering to have a group of people then listen to that and witness what you have to say and not need to do anything else. Because I think sometimes when there's an expectation that somebody else is going to come in and tell you what to do or how to fix it, it's disempowering.
Yeah.
I think my experience personally is, whether it's in a circle or in a listening partnership, is that when you speak out loud about how you're feeling, very often you find your own answers anyway. And so I think that's the magic of the circle, is that pure listening, that being witnessed, is so valuable in itself. And I'm so glad you brought up the perspective of the participant, because I think, you know, as a facilitator, we're trying to create this space where somebody feels safe enough or brave enough to be able to share something. And hopefully if somebody's listening to this who's been to circles, it helps them kind of think a little bit from the other side. Like, why did I like that circle, but I didn't feel so good in that circle? What was different about the way that it was held? Was it too tightly held and I was being told too much what to do and felt like I couldn't leave the room if I needed the toilet? Or was it too loosely held and I wasn't clear what time it was finishing and people were coming and going? And I always think of a bubble for some reason when I think of a circle. It's sort of, you're sitting physically in a circle if you're in person. But it's like this beautiful enclosed space where the normal rules of everyday society and communication, of chatting over each other, interrupting and butting in, are not welcome. We're talking one at a time to really be able to listen. And then there might be a gap because we have space to then formulate the response. And it's just slowing everything down.
Yeah, I love what you said about slowing everything down, because that's it. In normal conversation, there's always this rush to speak. And it's often in the space where the solutions arise. You get to say something out loud and be with it in a way that you wouldn't when you're percolating it on your own. And the fact that you're witnessed doing that adds a really special value to it. In this episode, what we've really aimed to do is talk about the responsibility and the role of the circle holder, and maybe a little bit about what it means to hold space for other people, and why maybe it can be helpful to have one or two people who own that role, own that responsibility, week in, week out, or month in, month out, for the circle. So thank you for joining us today, and episodes which touch on this. There are loads of episodes that touch on this, but I would say that Lee and Dee really look at the skills involved in that, and Kate really looks at the emotional vulnerability. When you listen to her, you think, if she can do it, I think I might be able to do it, because she's so brave in the way that she shows up with the vulnerability of what it is to be a circle holder.
Yeah. And also how he talks about the messiness of groups and then how it comes back together and all the group dynamics. We've got some great interviews in this series of podcast episodes.
You've been listening to the Circle Holding Podcast. I've been Tessa Venuti Sanderson.
And I've been Julia Davis. We would love for you to rate and review this podcast. A 5-star rating means more people will find us.
We're the co-authors of the book Circle Holding, A Practical Guide to Facilitating Talking Circles.
Thank you for joining us today.
You can find our trainings at circleholding.org. We hope that you find a community where you can be authentically you very soon.